Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 255, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Hoppin' This Volvo. It's as big as a whale, and it's about to set sail. Woo! You want a new car? We got about 20, so come on and use your kids' school money. Well, the lease shack is a little old place where we fuck Jack O'Brien. Get fucked, Jackie. Get fucked, Jackie. That is courtesy of Lex Loogie, Mr. Lugubrious, based on my recent... I'm coming to the end of my current car, and new leases, hard to come by, very expensive, and they did, in fact, sing this song when I entered the Volvo leasing. I didn't realize Volvos are, like, crazy, wild, expensive cars. So anyways, I will not be driving a Volvo. I can tell everybody that much. I am thrilled to be joined by a very special guest co-host, the producer behind shows like Fake Doctors, Real Friends, and Welcome to Our Show. You've heard her on Pop Culture Happy Hour, the Comic-Con Metapod. It's the brilliant, the talented Joelle Monique!
Hello, hello, hello. Oh my gosh, I have exciting news for the listener base. You guys actually helped send me to the Toronto International Film Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a bunch of movies, and I'm going to report on them here very soon.
Reporting back. We're going to get the Woman King review.
Yeah. You're getting a very spicy My Policeman interview, where I don't usually dunk on a movie so hard unless it absolutely deserves it. So I cracked my knuckles on this one. I said, here we go. It's time to eviscerate a film. So really that, excited for that.
That fellow being Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Massive. All right. Well,
you know what I love about movies? Movies feel like movies, yeah? Like sometimes when you know you go watch a movie, yeah, and you're just like, this feels not like a movie. It feels like reading a book. But no, this movie felt like a movie. Like boom. When you watch it, wow. This moving film.
We usually we don't bring in audio, but that is this early, but that is audio of a recent Harry Styles quote.
You sound smart.
Hey, who's that? In our third seat, a very funny comedian, the host of the podcast, the Frogcast, Pod Yourself a Gun, and now Pod Yourself the Wire, it's Matt Lee!
Hey, I'm here, baby. I'm here, and, you know, good to be back. I was here just the other day,
and you guys were
just like, man, Matt, you got to come back immediately.
Yeah.
Because you just crushed it. In the guest host.
More Lieb.
Yeah. Yes. You know, more Lieb. More Lieb the better. So I'm excited.
More Lieb time.
That's right.
If I could get a little more Lieb time on that.
Yeah, a little more Lieb time. And thanks for plugging the, the Pod Yourself the Wire, which is, you know, you were on Pod Yourself a Gun, our Sopranos rewatch podcast, and we did all the episodes, and now we're at The Wire. So I'm going to need both of you guys to come on and talk about The Wire at some point.
It is my favorite show of all time. Absolutely.
It's a great show. It's a great show. And here's the thing. If you're listening to this right now and you're like, oh, I haven't seen those shows, doesn't matter. You can still listen to the podcast. And if you're like, I don't want to listen to the podcast, that's fine. The most important thing is just giving us 5 stars in a review on the Apple podcast store. That's all I care
about.
There you
go.
Subscribe. Yep. And then press play on the episode and then mute it.
And then walk away.
Literally,
it's an act of charity to do those things. Please help. I have a baby.
Yeah. There aren't that many movie, TV, podcasts that I will give the... Go ahead and listen to this even if you're not watching the show. But yours is one of them because it is a comedy show and it's fun. It's fun to listen to. Although you should watch the fucking Wire and the Sopranos.
You should absolutely watch The Wire.
It's weird to not watch those shows. Yeah. Just because it's like, well, I mean, what else are you watching? What's in the way of those?
Right.
Nothing you're watching is as good as either The Sopranos or The Wire. And nothing you're listening to is as good as those two rewatch podcasts, Pod Yourself a Gun and Pod Yourself the Wire. So please help.
With the obvious exception of the Daily Zeitgeist.
Right. I was going to say that.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't want to start a beef here, Matt. But
no, there's no beef, but it's like, you know, you guys don't rewatch enough TV on this podcast.
That's right.
And that, I think, has been the main problem I've seen in various Daily Zeitgeist comment sections.
Yeah.
They're like, how come they're not talking about my favorite story?
Just completely misunderstanding it as a Wire rewatch podcast.
I don't remember any of these episodes about The Wire where the queen was dead.
That is truly what you get when you like launch a podcast. The first few weeks of episodes of reviews are just like, you know, reviewing a different podcast that your title made them think your show was going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, Matt, I want to. Okay, episodes. Either the one where the wiretapping goes completely haywire and blows up in everybody's face, or Omar's first on-screen gay kiss.
Iconic moments
for me.
We just did the first Omar gay kiss episode.
Unfortunately
you can't do that one, but there's plenty of The Wire goes haywire episodes. That's the thing about The Wire. It's mostly a show about, you know, wires. Various
types of wires. If you haven't seen it, they do constantly say things like, this has gone haywire and looks like we've got our wires crossed and too much coffee for me, I'm wired.
I'm wired. It's mostly a show of wire puns.
Choice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird to have such a serious and important show be filled with random
titular wire
buns. Oh man, you know what my favorite magazine is? Wired. Anyways, let's solve this murder.
Yeah. Joelle, I'm so excited for the segments where you're going to be coming on telling us about all the movies you've pre-screened for us.
Yes.
And that will all be happening soon. And Matt, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Please.
First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. There is this article in The New Yorker, which I read, no big deal, that about Johnson & Johnson's history of talcum powder, baby powder, and their knowing that it caused cancer and kind of continuing to sell it, even though there was a cheaper alternative.
Wow.
But it really is the most American story that you can come up with, down to there was like a twist in it that really, really blew my mind. So I just want to kind of take you guys through that story.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. And then we're going to talk about the idea of the 10-hour movie TV show, because the new Star Wars series Andor, starring Diego Luna, is being pitched as a very long movie. And that's also how Tim Burton's Wednesday is being pitched. Obi-Wan, Kenobi, the new Lord of the Rings show, all being pitched that way. So I want to just kind of talk about that idea that I believe lends them some sort of credence or some sort of, I don't know, high culture status, but it's not how things work generally.
No.
So all of that, plenty more. But first, Matt, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Well, the most recent thing in my search history is I Googled, my wedding ring is stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no.
So here's, I got a wedding ring. I got married to previous guest, Francesca Fiorentini, and
beautiful Daily Zeitgeist guest power couple.
Just a wonderful Zeitgeist couple. And I got the ring, and at first it was like too small. So we sent it back and we got it resized. Mm-hmm. And then it came back and I was like, okay, now it kind of comfortably fits over the knuckle.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice and like a little bit loose over the actual under the knuckle area. And then in the last few days, my finger's swelling. I don't know why. And so I tried to take it off and now it's stuck. I can't get it out. And and I've been reading online. It's a lot of don't worry about it. It's just, it's the weather. And I'm like, I'm a little bit worried about it. I have a thing that what if my finger dies,
Yeah, what if I lose finger keeps growing.
And, exactly. Yeah. And then I started thinking what if I gain weight,
Right.
And then my fingers start swelling even more and this is stuck on me forever.
Yeah.
And I feel nervous about it. So I've been putting soap on it and I can't fucking get it off. And not that I want to get it off, because obviously love is love.
Right. You're just saying that you tend to only wear it. You don't wear it when you record podcasts.
Well, I don't wear it when I record podcasts. When I go to the grocery store, go to a bar, if I'm on stage, But other than that,
if I'm on stage,
I don't want it in my Tinder profile. But I'm just saying, I can't. It concerns me, and so I'm like WebMDing symptoms, and it's like unless your finger starts tingling, then don't worry about it. And I was like, well, as soon as you say that, now my finger's tingling because I'm thinking about my finger tingling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
you need a buzzsaw, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. And I'm like,
the situation here.
Listen, this family in such a short amount of time has had so much ring drama. And I just feel like I can't tell Francesca that it's stuck. Because then it'll be like another ring thing. Joelle, there was I've told a story before, but I got Francesca a really bad engagement ring on accident. And so that was a whole fiasco. And now it's another ring fiasco and it's stuck. But it's fine. You know what? I don't fucking need that finger anyway. So
yeah. It is something that they don't tell you that. Like, I don't know. I remember early days of getting married and being shocked at how fat my fingers were on some days, and just that it's like completely variable. I found over 14 years of marriage that it tends to go with like my diet and how much salt I've eaten in the previous. Like I think if I've had ramen, I can just bet that I'm not going to be able to get my wedding ring on and off the next day.
Really? Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe that's kind of good though. I should cut down on my salt intake.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like nature's way or Francesca's way.
They say marriage
way.
Is better for your health. And so now I'm seeing where these benefits come from.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you just have a little sizer on you. That's like, ooh, buddy.
It's like an Apple Watch, but it's like, you know, the one that tells you to like breathe more or whatever, which I can't fucking stand that thing.
Yeah.
One time he told me, it looks like you're working out. And I was literally frantically searching the Glendale Galleria for the Mongolian barbecue place. Yeah. And it told me that I was fucking, it looks like you're working out. And I was like, why don't you shut up, you fucking. So judgmental.
You just take that as the excuse. You'd be like, great. When I watched that, I worked out today. So nobody come for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Looks like you're working out. What are you got? Peeling an orange.
Seems like you're out of breath. Are you okay? Peeling. Yeah. Mm. What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, dude. Pregnancy. Mm. Pregnancy is overrated, dude. Right now, me and Francesca are 3 weeks now away from having our first child.
Oh, shit.
And I think that, you know, from all the books I've read, from all the, like, you know, classes we've taken, they're just like, man, you know, pregnancy is hard. And I'm like, no, I'm chilling.
Right.
Wow, Matt. Wow.
I mean, it's been fairly easy for me. And I don't even know why. I guess I'm just built different, you know?
Yeah, how's Francesca doing? How's she?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't checked in with her in a bit. She's probably good.
She's actually peeling an orange for me right now because I find it a little
She's
bit taxing.
She's frantically searching the Glendale Galleria for Mongolian barbecue right now. Right. So I don't know. I'll text though.
Oh my God.
No, pregnancy. I think raising children is overrated too. You know, people keep saying, oh man, they change your life and stuff. And I'm like, I mean, what, for like 6 weeks? And then they learn to sleep, and then they get a job, and then they, you know, start podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
As you know, Jack,
you sound ready, man. You sound ready. You're
as someone with children.
Yes,
you can attest to the fact that it's super easy.
It's a 6 week commitment, seven maybe sometimes, if things don't go according to plan. But after that, you just kind of go back to your old routine. And,
right, they're on autopilot. You know,
I love it when the kids drive themselves to preschool. So helpful.
It's great.
Proud day for every parent.
Yeah, I love that when they drive themselves straight to their pediatrician and they're just like, give me my allergy shot, please. You know,
it is so just all consuming and different that I truly think, like, the whole thing with 18 to 34 being the demographic where they that they target, like, the average age that people have children is 35, I think. And so,
is that right?
Yeah, I think they're just like, after that, you're just like no longer.
Yeah, you're not buying anything for yourself anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're done. We're done trying to reach you.
Yeah. And they're like, no, ads don't work on you anymore because you're too burnt out.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it sounds like you're ready. And,
yeah, I'm ready for this, man. Yeah. Things are, it's just been easy breezy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I actually, in all seriousness, Francesca is probably the most badass pregnant person I've ever seen. Like, the fact that she is still doing stand up and stuff, like, people, you know, Ali Wong did a special where she, you know, like two specials where she was pregnant. And we have friends like Jenna Friedman just did one. And I remember thinking, you know, at the time, like, you know, damn, that's pretty crazy. But now, I'm like, not as pregnant as Francesca. Francesca way more pregnant than all them, and she's still doing great. You know, she's still doing her shows.
Killing. Yeah,
she's up there crushing it. And yeah, it's because we need the money. But you know, that's not, if you look at it without the capitalist critique, it's really inspirational.
And again, it makes it easy on you. Which is,
because she's just out there making money. I'm like, dude, I just stay unemployed. I got this new video game about a cat. It's
great. Fun.
It's great, dude. It's a stray cat just going around. It's called Stray. It's cute. I make it meow.
That's adorable. What is something you think is underrated?
I would say The Wire. The Wire is underrated. A lot of people say it's the best show ever made. And I feel like that's not fair because it's the best art ever done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're really pretty, elevating it.
Pretty fucking good. And it's been a long time. I don't know why I'm not rewatching it. I need to rewatch it. Because I watched it. I was like, I was like, that's better than any novel I've read, right? Like,
yes.
That's so good.
It's better than you remember it, which is like, I think, the most amazing thing about it. Because when you start, the first like time you watch it, it really does feel like the stuff that's interesting about it is like all the drug dealing that's happening, the kind of like the way that the relationships between like different dealers and different gangs kind of like blossoms and explodes and all that. And it's like it's all the like cool stuff that you're watching at the first time. Meanwhile, all of like the, you know, I would say more than 50% of the show is just a bunch of white guys in a room like talking about something, and they all sound like Charlie Brown's teacher, and you're just like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And then when you rewatch it, all of that like boring like bureaucracy is like, oh, that's the best. Give me more feckless right. bureaucrats who just desperately don't want to do their jobs. It's like, it's weird how much more you gain every time you watch that show.
Yeah, the first time I watched that show, I was like 19, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I was definitely all about mostly for me, it was like about the race relations. And like, yeah, the police, look at them, terrible people. But then, if you watch it later too, the way it ages, first of all, it's like, okay, the show has had like incredible foresight into how we're going to be living under, you know, the government's watchful eye, like way early. It was predicting things super early. And it also, you know, I rewatch a lot of shows, and the cringe factor on The Wire is very low as compared to something like, say, The Sopranos, where you're like, oh no, we don't want to go into this territory. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Wire holds up. It's good stuff.
It becomes more relevant every year because all of the like systemic problems that they're talking about, none of them have been addressed by society. And they've all just gotten progressively worse. So there are things that you think in that show that are like, oh, that seems a little overboard, you know, there, especially like the way, I mean, the last season, I'm not going to ruin it for people who haven't seen it, but like the way that the police act, maybe in 2002, you would be like, oh wow, this is, I don't know, this is showing them in kind of a bad light. And now you're just like, oh no, this is literally way more tame than they actually are.
Yeah,
this
came back. I mean, it should be noted, the makers of The Wire came back and sort of updated with a limited series called We Own This City that is all about the police quitting in response to the Freddie Gray protests.
Right,
and
right.
Just and being like, we're not leaving our squad cars because fuck you for criticizing us.
Right. And it showed how this like gun task force, the gun trace task force in the city, we're literally just doing Omar's job in The Wire, which is just like just ripping and running, just robbing drug dealers, stealing their guns, planting evidence, killing people, all with impunity. And it's amazing because you're like, The Wire is this fictionalized account and is like, wow, that's pretty dark. We Own the City is real and based on the actual reporting that happened. Yeah. And it's so much worse than The Wire.
The big difference is that the police are much, much worse than, you know, for The Wire, they had to like find the humanity in the police and give them fun stories. And
And sometimes it can like veer into what you might perceive as like, oh, is this propaganda? But then when you realize that like the thing with systemic problems is that it takes people who might have like the best of intentions. Like, there are cops on that show with the best of intentions, and shows that no matter the intention, you're going to be actively participating in an evil institution. Yeah. So it's like, it's not propaganda if you kind of take the broad view and go, well, look at these guys. Look at what they actually end up accomplishing. Fucking nothing.
Yeah, like, I don't think there's anybody who watches this show and is like, you know what? Yeah. Please, yeah. Not a good person anyway. You'd really have to side eye that person and be like, oh no.
First time I actually watched the show is back when I was like an addict and in active addiction. And I remember thinking to myself, like, man, maybe I should apply, because I saw these like posters in Oakland when I was living out there. I should apply to be like an Oakland PD officer, because then I could steal drugs for a living.
Yeah, you have so much access to drugs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, literal thought I had, me as a drug addict going like, oh, best I could be a cop.
Be drive under the influence with impunity. Yes. Yeah, yes. They're always just like drinking beers, driving
they're
around.
They're always drinking and driving.
They'll definitely get you off, you know?
Yeah.
Go to court and be like, oh no, judge, he's a good guy. We got it. Don't you worry about
this. Yeah. And it like takes the premise of like, you know, the thin blue line or whatnot, you know, cops like having each other's back, and it kind of flips it on its head a little, because it's like, yeah, cops will have your back unless you do fucking anything to fuck with your bosses. Your bosses will destroy you if you try to do like
It's anything. Like the military. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, on the propaganda front, I do think that is maybe the thing that they had the hardest time with in making The Wire. And I personally think the best seasons are 4, which I think a lot of people say that 4 is the best season. But that's the one that's about the school system.
It's about the school system. And system to fucking prison pipeline, essentially.
But like the cop who is the protagonist for the first 3 seasons, or like one of the main protagonists, just like is in that for one 15-minute scene, basically.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And then season 2, which is specifically about the docs, is also one of my favorite episodes or favorite seasons. And that one,
you know, upon first watch, I know so many people stuck on season 2 of The Wire because they watch it and they're like, oh, what? Now we're dealing with these like white Polish dock workers. Like, what is this? What happened to like the Barksdale organization and, you know, the selling drugs and the PJs? Like, that's what I'm here for. And when you watch that season again, you realize that it's like I said, all that stuff you thought was boring becomes the most fascinating, because you're just seeing, you know, the way that the, you know, the destruction of unions, the destruction of you know, the deindustrialization of the of working class and working class neighborhoods in Baltimore or anywhere leads to people finding other means to feed their families.
Yeah.
And how the city doesn't do anything to not encourage it, because why would they? It's good stuff.
It's great. Like, really, everyone, just talking about this made me extra passionate that everybody needs to go
watch The Wire. Best show. It's
so
the best
good.
Show.
Yeah. It's like a great work of sociology and also a great work of like drama.
There's catchphrases. It's a show with McNulty's catchphrase, "What the fuck did I do?" And then, you know, there's a state senator Clay Davis goes, "She." So like, if you're someone who loves catchphrases, watch The Wire.
Yeah. Well, one of the greats. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about Johnson & Johnson.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where First-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And so I wanted to look at this story called Damages, I think is what it's called in the latest issue of The New Yorker, or one of the more recent ones. It's about all these people who were getting ovarian cancer and didn't have any of the pre-existing like symptoms that would lead people to have that. They didn't have the hereditary, you know, danger signs, but they did all use talcum powder. And slowly by slowly, they've kind of done an investigation into this. And turns out Johnson & Johnson and the industry at large has kind of known that this was happening for a long time, since the 60s and 70s. It wouldn't be quite right to say they ignored the risk for years, because they actually, you know, paid lobbyists, one who was making $4.5 million a year, who are going to come back to that guy, to help fight attempts by the FDA to limit the amount of asbestos in their baby powder. So carcinogen limit, in baby powder.
Limit it. Yes. Don't take it all out, but yes, just, you know, have like just a little bit of asbestos as a treat.
Yeah. And it really is, this piece is kind of eye-opening about how the U.S. citizens are uniquely unprotected when it comes to being abused and killed by corporations for profit. In this case, the FDA and government organizations are just so vastly underfunded compared to these massive industry lobbying firms. So just a quote from the article, the responsibility for regulating the $85 billion cosmetics industry falls to the FDA's Division of Cosmetics, which has 30 employees and an annual budget of less than $10 million.
Oh my God.
Oh, Lord.
And then when you compare
how much that lobbyist got paid.
Yeah.
He got paid half that.
Half of the FDA's entire budget. And that was one lobbyist. They have entire cities of lobbyists working on making whatever they do as profitable as possible without any regard for the customers, what happens, the ethics of the situation. It's all just sweeping shit under the rug. When you look at the results of what that budget mismatch results in, so in other countries, more than 80 countries from the United Kingdom to Cambodia to Myanmar have enacted stronger cosmetics regulations than the United States. And whereas some countries' regulators have banned more than 2,400 cosmetics ingredients, from parabens to formaldehyde, the FDA has banned or restricted fewer than a dozen.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it's just like you get to a point with the FDA where you're just like, I'm not sure if you can justify having a building that, you know, that you go to work in every day. Cut a little bit of the excess fat on rent, and just put that towards having more people to do regulation.
Or properly fund them in the first place. Like,
oh, well, that's never going
to happen. It's super maddening. I think especially when it's kind of so clear, just as like an average consumer, people are like eager to purchase, you know, Japanese sweets or sweets from the UK because they actually make sure that you're not eating just processed junk all the time.
Yeah, like straight glass.
Thought and consideration. Yeah.
Very little formaldehyde in British chocolate for some reason. It's really strange.
Ugh.
It also wouldn't check all the bias. So I'm making the argument this is the most American story I've ever read.
Oh, absolutely.
It wouldn't check all the American boxes if it didn't involve human caging. And J&J tested baby powder and baby shampoo on prisoners in Philadelphia, both by giving them little cuts and putting the products in there or dripping baby shampoo directly into their eyes.
Oh, great. Good.
What? Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I'd love to hear that.
They tested it like that?
That's how they tested it. And paid them like small amounts of money, like criminally small amounts
cents.
Of money.
Congratulations and thank you.
But it's been proven
it gets
that
worse.
Yeah, it's been proven that Johnson & Johnson knew talc probably caused cancer. The article repeats these stories where a tumor is found, they biopsy it, they find that the tumor has talc in it.
Oh,
has talc
God.
In the tumor. And Johnson & Johnson and the industry is repeatedly like, yeah, your sample was corrupted. Sorry. Just like that happens repeatedly. They find talc in the tumor. They say your sample was corrupted.
Yeah, no, that's on you. That's on you. There's no way that it could be our delicious talcum powder filled with asbestos.
Yes. There are internal documents where somebody who's pretty high up is like, hey, this actually doesn't really make financial sense at this point because we are going to get sued. It does look like this causes cancer. Let's switch to cornstarch, which is cheaper and basically as effective. Mm-hmm. And then nobody like replies to that. And instead, like the next thread is all about like them doubling down on marketing it to Black people, overweight people, and women.
Jesus.
Yep. Here's some fun stuff NPR reported on. So according to, they were being sued by like the delegation of Negro women that showed like 60% of Black women used baby powder in 2006, as opposed to 30% of the overall population, which is nuts. They wanted to market to Southern U.S. people for the curvy Southern woman and considered signing Patti LaBelle or Aretha Franklin as spokespeople, which is just so frustrating. And they went after people they systematically usually cannot file lawsuits for financial
That's
purposes.
Exactly right.
They went exactly after a population that was, you know, like, oh, they'll die and it'll be fine because no one will blame us or
their
get
lives
to us.
Aren't valued in the United States. They specifically, when you talk about the like how popular it is in Black communities, they specifically went to market it at churches, like doing giveaways at churches to like reach that demographic.
Jeez.
But and they're probably so there have been these $1 billion lawsuits that some of them Johnson & Johnson has lost. Like they don't lose all of them because they have, of course, just massive legal teams that are able to, you know, just shoot holes in all these things and claim the samples are corrupted or whatever, you know, just call into question the idea of DNA evidence, you know, that sort of shit.
Or reality.
Right, or reality. What do we know about anything, really?
Yeah, exactly. What the bleep do we know? You know, quantum physics, that shit.
So the other thing, they did this thing where they created a new company that they then, like, made responsible for all of the lawsuits and legal liability. And then that company declared bankruptcy.
Bonson and Bonson is responsible for
basically,
this.
Basically, they like put on a mask. And yeah, it makes the idea of it's called the Texas two-step in legal circles. And it basically makes the idea of legal liability useless. It was started by the Koch brothers and their company.
Hey.
So you know it's good. But
God, you think they have just like a little evil boardroom where they get together and they're just like, you got any more scams that will harm the world? And they're like, yeah, I got a few more.
Straight up, that is what most jobs are in the United States. Like, it's not just that there's an evil boardroom. It is that is where people make their money. That is the money behind wealthy people in when you don't know where the wealthy people's money is coming from, mm-hmm. there's usually a good reason for that.
Yeah.
But so what they do is they created that new company to, like, you know, hold all the legal liability. And then that company
Fall Guy Inc. will take yeah, those.
Essentially, that company, then declares bankruptcy. And wow. so, you know, Johnson & Johnson is in the, with respect to these lawsuits, is technically bankrupt if this goes through. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, their most recent quarterly report shows $24 billion in sales, but they can, you know, continue to kill people with impunity. Once this case goes to the Supreme Court, which has repeatedly over and over and over again found for, you know, corporations having more rights than human beings.
Man.
And in this case, finding for corporations to be able to sell a product called baby powder that causes cancer.
Fuck me.
Yeah. But I do. So I want to go back to that original lobbyist who came on in the 70s when they were first seeing this possibility that this was a bad thing for them and that they might be in trouble. They hired this lobbying firm. It was like a conglomerate of like lobbyists that this person came together and like became the head of, and he, you know, came up with all these ingenious legal strategies to make it so corporations could poison women's reproductive organs and other shit. That person's name, who's making $4.5 million a year to do, you know, literally the devil's work, was E. Edward Kavanaugh. He would come home from his job of, you know, helping these companies poison people with impunity, his son would be lifting weights in the garage.
Oh God, squeak, damn it.
And Tobin, because his son was Brett Kavanaugh.
God fucking.
So it's a wrap. It's a effing wrap.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This family has to. We need. Okay. Okay.
It's all
this family
connected.
Has to come and answer some questions.
Kavanaugh, I say, nah to Kavanaugh. Can we just? I'm not gonna say anything that will get me in trouble, but this line of evil.
Yeah.
Like, how many generations of evil are we talking here? This is.
Right. What did his dad do?
Right. That's a great question.
Was he part of that whole like group of people who tried to take over the United States in World War II?
Right.
With Ford,
the business plot.
Tried
to hire Snidely Whiplash to. What was that guy's name? It wasn't Snidely Whiplash, but something
similar.
That sounds
right.
It was.
Yeah, it was something close to that. They tried to hire a general to overthrow FDR because they thought he was too hard on businesses. But we actually don't know if they're related to that person or not. But it is, you know, that he gets paid absurd amounts of money, makes all these connections. And I do think, like, not only is it just nepotism of him being extremely wealthy, getting to send his son to the best private schools, but also he is doing dirt behind the scenes for very powerful people. He knows where the bodies are buried, and therefore that, like, I think it's underrated how much that goes into it, is by being like a team player who knows where the bodies is buried, maybe helped you bury some of those bodies, or was the architect of like your plot to just bury bodies all over America. You know, that adds extra stuff, like that adds extra credit to your name. Like there's a theory out there, you know, George H.W. Bush hadn't really like done much with the CIA before he became the head of the CIA. But what he, like, the only mention of his name in association with the CIA was on the day JFK was killed. Like, they were like, we have a man in Dallas, George Bush, who like was somehow involved.
Yeah.
And so like that always kind of added some extra texture to just his whole story. And like the people who do help you get away with the worst stuff then get to be the most powerful people, or their kids get to be the most powerful people. And now this person who helped Johnson & Johnson literally like poison the mm-hmm. ovaries of women is now has now, you know, become a Supreme Court justice and is regulating and systemically dismantling protections for women's health.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if you're willing to do dirt to, you know, help big business.
Yeah.
You can make it really far in yeah. America. You know, they love that. They love a good team player.
Yeah.
And, oh,
yeah. Messy. The only thing I could find on Edward Sr. is that he went to Yale and Brett Kavanaugh perjured himself when he said he had no connection to Yale because he was, in fact, a legacy.
Of course.
Edward E. Edward Kavanaugh Sr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
Grandpa Kavanaugh.
Oh, his grandpa. Got it.
So yeah, because his dad is Junior.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Wolf. So that's something to keep an eye on is whether the Supreme Court allows this Texas two-step thing, because once they do, it's really not safe for anyone in the United States because corporations will be able to kill us with impunity and no liability. And yeah, I mean, right now, Johnson & Johnson, like I said, their most recent quarterly report shows $24 billion in sales. They've declared bankruptcy and are essentially off the hook for all the people they're killing. And one woman a day has died waiting to find out if their case against the company would ever be heard. So
super good. Super good. I looked up to see if I could boycott Johnson & Johnson. The answer is yes, you obviously could, but with difficulty.
They make
they own Tylenol. And
they own
that
Tylenol,
is essential
Band-Aids.
To my being.
They own
Aveeno. The best discount lotion you can buy. I know. This is devastating.
They do Aveeno. Mm-hmm. My skin loves Aveeno.
I know. It's good. It's good stuff, unfortunately. Yeah.
God damn it.
All right. Well,
see, this is why I do a TV rewatch podcast, man, because it's so goddamn depressing. Ooh.
Oh, man. I find it invigorating, though. they're so openly bad. Like, it is what you think when you're a kid and you're like, mm-hmm. there's bad guys and good guys. And then you come around and, like, they teach you, oh, it's actually, you know, yes. pretty complicated. And
right.
then you learn more and you're like, no, it's actually not.
Yeah,
there
simple.
Are bad guys. There,
yeah. I remember, so I started watching the new Lord of the Rings show and then I rewatched the Lord of the Rings movies. And I've heard some people's critiques of Lord of the Rings in general as being like kind of like not, it's just war for the sake of good versus evil. There's no like, you know, it's not about a particular power struggle, you know, for a throne like Game of Thrones. It's not about like, you know, it doesn't get in depth as to
right.
understanding
the bad guy's
why
the main motivation is evil.
Is There's evil, like, right. Yeah. Like, why are the
fuck
orcs
with evil over here? Yeah.
Why are the orcs the way that they are? Why is, you know, Sauron the way he is? But then, you know, in rewatching it, I just realized I was like, no, but that's because there are orcs. There are ghouls and they do run things.
They do run things. That's the thing.
We do need to all band together and destroy Morgoth and
yeah.
Sauron.
Yeah.
And Sauron.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to come back and talk TV and movies. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And we recently, as a few episodes ago, when Matt, you were on, we talked about movies versus TV. That's my right. Feeling that I am missing out because I just have this bias against TV, like down to the frame rate, just down to like what TV looks like versus what movies look like. I will give a movie more weight than I will TV, just like off the jump, even though I've watched The Wire and been like, that's better than any movie I've ever seen. I still will get excited when a movie is coming out. Don't really get excited for a new TV show coming out.
Here you go, caping for big movie again.
I freely admit I'm wrong, or probably I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
So there's this new Star Wars series, Andor. It drops today, I guess, as you're listening to this. And according to Diego Luna, who is the star, it's kind of like a very long movie, which I think has connoted a level of class in the past, but critics are starting to be like, hey, that's not good.
Yeah.
that might not be a good thing.
Yeah. You don't really want that. I mean, they tried that with the Godfather saga and it didn't work out good. Did you guys ever watch the Godfather saga?
No.
Okay.
You mean like parts 1, 2, and 3
they decided to make the Godfather into a TV-friendly edition by taking 1 and 2, this is before 3 came out, and putting it in chronological order. And then basically making it episodic. And
that's a fun editing assignment.
It's a fun editing assignment, but when you watch it, you're like, oh, you've ruined it.
The pacing and the tension.
The pacing is wrong. Godfather 2 works because you go back and forth in time. It's like, right. Are you crazy? Yeah, no, you don't. Movies and TV are actually two very different mediums. And to be like, oh, man, you know what we should do is make a real, like, that's like saying a miniseries is just a long movie because you can watch it in one sitting. It's like, no, it's not what a movie is.
No.
Like, if your episodes do not have an arc and you're like, well, that's because it's a really long movie. It's like, well, okay, then that's not a show.
I
totally agree. There's so much to consider when you're looking at the two art forms. I think no one would stand for a 10-hour movie because you'd be exhausted by it, because a film almost by definition is supposed to move more quickly than that. Like, you the case of events, you're, by rule of thumb, you're entering as late as possible and entering as quickly. I'm sorry, you're entering as late as possible and leaving as quick as possible. Like, you're not supposed right. to be spending extended amounts of time with these characters. Usually you're like looking at one theme. It's can be character driven, but mostly what you're trying to do is get like encapsulate a moment or an event mm-hmm. and explore that and then get out. That's what a movie's about. Television is all yeah. about like, you know, loving the characters and the journey. It's supposed to be an extended piece of media. And, right. you know, before streaming, which I think is when a lot of this became muddled, it was supposed to be, you know, serialized in that you're coming back every week to enjoy, you know, this thing again. You get a week of time between screenings to contemplate and dive into the thoughts of it and like hypothesize yeah. about what's happening next. Like, it's a whole active experience even after the show ends. Mm-hmm. And that's something that film, you might talk about a film, but you're not like, what happened next if the movie is good? You're yeah. like, okay, that's the end. So I think trying to conflate it, and also I think cheapens television, which is really frustrating to me as somebody who really enjoys TV, loves mm-hmm. writing television and screening it. Like, to constantly be like, it's not TV, it's a movie. It's like, okay, this is not HBO and it's not the 90s. Mm-hmm. We can evolve. Right. This idea that television, which is out of its golden era, like we mm-hmm. lived through this huge balloon of like, oh, TV can be prestige. Yeah. And we came out of that being like, oh, well, we want to make movies. Then make a damn movie. What are right. you doing here? This is TV space. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah. Calling something, you know, oh, you know, that TV show is just like a very long movie is just kind of an insult to TV shows that are just like, no, we're a TV show and we're better than your movie. You know what I mean? Like, people, I think it's a way of saying like, movies are better than TV. So mm-hmm. If you watch this TV show, it's more like you're seeing a film. And right. it's like, right. man, fuck off. It's a TV show. We all know what TV shows are. You can't lie to me.
That has been the belief within the film and TV industries, right? Is that like you have to level up two movies from right. TV for a long time. And they're yeah, sure. only now coming back around to the idea of TV being worthwhile, but they're doing it kicking and screaming. And I feel like this is one of those kicks and screams, is like Diego Luna being like, yeah, this is like actually, like, don't think of me as a TV actor because this is actually more of a movie.
So strange to me because like Bryan Cranston really kicked down that door with Breaking Bad.
Right.
You know, Bryan, you were like, oh, this guy, you could put him up against any actor and he's going to perform beautifully. It doesn't matter truly the material. And what you see after that is like a slosh of movie stars being like, oh, I love to do TV. We got regular ass hours. Just mm-hmm. come and go. Perfect. Yeah. Like, I would like to do that. And it's like, it's weird to me because it's like, people have already forgotten about Fargo, a series that constantly brings in a new, very talented mm-hmm. film actor to right. lead a season of television and has done so beautifully. You have like your Olivia Colmans of the world who constantly just flip back and forth. She doesn't care where she lands. She's just looking for an interesting role. Mm-hmm. I don't understand, you know, acting is a profession, but you can do it on stage or in the street or in a movie or on television. Like, there's no limit to where you can perform, but there is a limit to how you can structure a television series. Right. Even if you're looking at, you know, an instant binge stream versus your weekly like network thing, you still need a pilot, which still has a pretty strict formula or a set of rules that you're trying to achieve, which is different than mm-hmm. your three act structure of a film. And so again, just to try to conflate these two things as being the same or to diminish one by trying to be the other, I think you're seeing, I kind of think this is what took us out of the golden age of television, is people got yeah. too excited about being prestige. They forgot, like, oh, we're making TV.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, it's just, you know, once they started realizing, like, you know, you had these, like, premium cable channels that were just like, oh, we're not doing this for the ad break. So that means we can really focus on just the content, just making it good. And, mm-hmm. you know, well filmed and well thought out. And that was, I think, you know, that brought us into like this golden age of television. And then now, because we're flooded with all streaming services having their original content. And when, Jack, when you talk about the frame rate, I agree with you. When I watch a Netflix original series, I'm just like, why does this look like trash? I don't understand why this looks weird. Like, some of it looks fine, but some of it just feels like they all use the same goddamn camera and just pass
it
around.
They actually do.
Yeah.
Netflix has, like, really strict... I mean, they do. They have strict rules about which kind of cameras you can use because they're streaming, and they are foreseeing the 8K revolution. Their thought process is you need to be filming with these types of cameras, and you need to have these kinds of shots. Like, it's almost a network Bible as opposed to a show Bible, which does create a lot of homogeny, and I think Netflix should change that. But
yeah, but yeah, because of how homogeneous all of the shows look, you kind of like, you've gotten to the point now where I feel like movies being a separate thing, being like, movies are like back to, in a way, being like, I think more, I don't know, it's looked at as more prestigious than television. I mean, it always was, but I feel like now the idea of being like, we're not just another streaming show. No.
Right.
We're a streaming show that's a movie streaming show. We're movie, the TV show. Watch us. Yeah. It's great.
Well,
it's like seeing Titanic over and over again.
Well, not to be too capitalist about it, but I also think post-pandemic is having an effect on all of this because theaters are opening back up and they really, really need people to come see movies. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing is a very distinct effort to elevate films. You know, a lot of people are being choosier about which films are going to green light. You have, you know, your $1 billion blockbusters. We're really leaning into action post-pandemic. Bring back the rom-com, I say.
Hell yeah.
I think especially Disney, if we look at what they're trying to do with Star Wars and Marvel, is trying to capture that in television as a way to tide you over in between film releases. I think it's an effective overall strategy, particularly for that fan base. But I also think, you know, television has that instant accessibility in your home that makes it, I know there's something about the element of time and being able to, like, pace it at your own leisure as opposed to spending a lot of money and for an event on a giant screen. And so I think we're trying to discover, you know, what is the balance between these two different venues and how do we service audiences who have sort of come to get the same level of special effects and performance that you could get in a theater in their home. What is now our dividing factor for these two services? And I don't really know what the answer to that is just yet. I think it's going to come down to storytelling. And I think what we're going to want to see more on screen are like larger emotional moments, you know? So yes, the giant actions, yes, your big rom-com swing, sort of like we had in the 90s. I'm envisioning a return of comedy duos just because typically in times of
depression.
Thank you. In times of depression, we return to comedies. That's what we really like as a people. Check
out the
30s.
Times of hopelessness.
Yeah, exactly.
And despair.
And what we'll get at home is, you know, much more like a slew of like more nuanced, slow-paced journeys, which I sort of think is how it has to be. But I don't know. I really don't like conflating the two.
Yeah, I would love it if we got the return of comedy duos and that and where the entire goal was just to be funny. I do feel like there's been one of the big downsides of prestige TV has been the comedy that is mostly drama.
Yeah.
And like sometimes it's perfect, like Barry.
Sure.
And sometimes I'm just like, oh, why is this called a comedy? This is just a bunch of therapists crying. You know, and it's just like there are just some shows that I just can't. It's like I don't want Abbott and Costello to be like, who's on first? And he's just like, my bipolar disorder.
Right.
And it's like, come on, man. Come
I
on.
I think comedy's at a good place in movies. My favorite comedian is The Rock. And I think that like those are some great comedy. So I'm going to say something that's going to get people mad.
Ooh, fun!
But I do. Are you guys both watching the Lord of the Rings series?
Yes,
I am.
But I haven't seen the latest episode.
Neither have I.
I'm like 10 minutes into the second episode. I just want to preface this by saying, like, it. Not only do I have like a movie bias, I I have a Teen Wolf shaped lens that I watch every entertainment through, because I like watched Teen Wolf when I was very young.
Right.
And now I watched it so young that like all everything else is built on top of that. And I still can
your
like,
foundation.
I still watch Teen Wolf and I have no notes. I'm like, no, that's a great movie. So I'm an idiot. Like I don't have good taste in movies or anything.
You're watching Lord of the Rings and you're like, needs more Teen Wolf.
Needs more breakdancing teenage werewolf.
You're watching Schindler's List. I don't know. I didn't see any wolves playing basketball.
But I'm wondering, and I'm not like articulate enough to like figure out what my issue is, but I'm really having a hard time making my way through Lord of the Rings, even though everything on screen is like impressive. Mm-hmm. And like the acting seems good and the effects seem amazing. And like, it's like really thoroughly imagined and it has cool stuff. And I'm just like, there's something. And I am wondering this story, which was submitted by our writer, JM, made mm-hmm. me wonder if like it has something to do with the pacing, which is something I'm not great at picking up on.
I mean, my initial thought is that you're watching it and you're just furious because you're like, elves can't be black.
Right.
That's
definitely Jack's first thought.
Yeah, that's your first reaction.
Sure. Yeah.
No, I understand where you're coming from. I personally, the reason I love the show is because I love Lord of the Rings. I love the books. I love the lore. All of it is fascinating to me. So as I'm watching it, you know, I'm like, I'm watching on more of a nerd level than I think like a regular viewer. But I felt the same way about the movies. And to be honest, I don't understand why the general public like the movies either, because the movies are also incredibly nerdy. They're the Tolkien's use of language is so like, it's so fantasy that it's like, I could see it being completely inaccessible to most people. I was surprised that people liked Lord of the Rings, because I was like, they speak Elvish for like half of it. Right. And it's literally people with pointy ears just, you know, being like, we must destroy the ring. Like for me, I'm a little nerd kid. So I'm like, yeah, we gotta destroy the ring. You're evil.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know about like why anyone who's normal would have liked it. So I can't answer that. I don't, the reason you don't like it is probably because it's
not enough teenage werewolves.
Not enough teenage werewolves, and because it's very nerdy, maybe. I don't know.
People liked the original for a couple of reasons. Their names are Viggo Mortensen, Liv Tyler, and Elijah Wood. That's what they came for, and it was good. And they loved it.
Orlando Bloom.
I forgot that hottie was in it too. Oh, yeah. So it's good. Just stacked with hotties.
He played Legoland.
Legoland. Yeah.
I think a lot of the issues for the TV series, it's dense, Jack. Like, I yes. would give yourself some grace in that it is extremely dense television material. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not in any way handing you or even like just holding your hand and guiding you through the story. Like, I think a lot of pilots do, which is good. Not downing that at all. I think, you know, how to say. So I think some pilots are like,
I'm too stupid
story,
for it. I get
and we're
going
to get. Yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying some good. Are easier to digest than others. And I think a lot of times, again, when we're in our living rooms on our very comfortable couches that we bought specifically for their comfort, we're in our cozy space. We're just trying to chill and watch some good stories. And, you know, a good pilot is like, here's a very easy guide to like, here are the characters, here are the stakes, enjoy. This story is all like, here's a bunch of philosophy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a bad guy, or maybe he's a lost traveler. We don't know. You'll find out. It's a little chaotic in here. It took two viewings for me to be like, okay, I'm pretty sure I understand everyone's like basic motive. It's dense. I'll just say that. It's not kickback watching. It requires your full attention, which is not something everyone's trying to do when they're on the couch.
And it is a slow burn, I think, before you get to some of the more, I don't know, accessible human stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love hobbits. I'm a big hobbit guy. When I see hobbits on screen, I'm like, fuck yeah, hobbits. So, and I think people like hobbits in general, like the general public likes them because they are relatable. So
home and hearth people for sure.
Yeah. So I think the show once it gets a little more Hobbit heavy, I think people will enjoy it more.
Yeah.
But I
love
know,
the charming little touches and the like the villages and the like origami boats that like, turn into big sail. Like shit, I love like the little touches. It's like the main thrust of the story. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I feel you. But like, yeah.
Listen, the dwarves are coming in the back half of episode two and they are freaking delightful.
They're fantastic. Yeah. If you haven't, if you've gotten there yet, then it does start picking up.
Okay.
But I'll admit most of my excitement comes from wanting to see people that I know from both Lord of the Rings and from like the Silmarillion. So I'm excited for that.
To the point about like things being paced as TV versus movies versus like, I think Game of Thrones was at its best when it was paced like based on what was happening in the novels, and like they weren't able to just like run off and be like, okay, now we need a big battle at the end of the season, and so we're gonna have to make it so that he can run across the country on foot in order to like get there for the you know, they just kind of stuck with whatever pacing the novels dictated, and That felt better to me than towards the end where it felt like they got more into somewhat generic TV pacing.
Right, so. And having to, you know, they also had to wrap things up. So they felt like the audience was craving big battles. And
they made a choice to do 8 episodes in a final season like some dumbasses when you had at least 10 episodes worth of drama to adequately wrap up. And then you spent the first 3 just at Winterfell. A lot of terrible decisions were made.
It was a perfect storm. I mean, also, come on. The Long Night is one episode?
Right. I mean,
come on.
Wow.
Man.
It's not a Targaryen
not very
who
long.
Does the killing. What was this premonition about in the first place? What's even going on? We're just going to do away with all of the mysticism. Just none of the, where are my first children? What's going down? They're just forget about it. We're done.
Yeah. All right, we could then talk about this.
We
could
do that forever.
So we'll have to cut it there. Matt, truly a pleasure as always having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me on Instagram at Matt Lieb Jokes, and follow me there. And please check out Pod Yourself the Wire or Pod Yourself a Gun, or don't check it out and just give us those 5 stars in a review and just press play and mute it because
there you go.
You know, I need it. I need it. All right.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. This tweet, I think, is from yesterday or a couple days ago from comedian Andrea Moore at A More or Less on Twitter. Porn has completely lost the plot. I was watching a video where the premise was a girl gets fucked by her stepfather while her stepmother is in the next room. How does someone have a stepmother and a stepfather?
Oh, no.
I love that. That's great. You just try to imagine, like, why? What the just a confluence of events that would lead to you being raised by 2 strangers.
Yeah. And Joelle, as always, so great having you as guest host. Where can people find you and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Thanks for having me back. Super fun as always. You guys know me. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueUE. Rebecca Witherspoon, who is a fantastic romantic novelist. Those are words. she tweeted, Beyonce posted a video congratulating her church on like its 30th anniversary. It's very sweet, beautiful, blah, 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 whatever. Rebecca and all of Beyonce's fans now think she's pregnant. It's a face up video. Her face is real round. We don't have no choreography for this new album yet. So Rebecca tweets, this woman is pregnant and we ain't getting a choreography until 2024. I would scream Beyonce, but my brother edits this and I don't want to hear about it. So Beyonce, please come back. I don't know what's happening. Like, just give us some information. We're lost in a sea of a great album. I listen to it at least once a day, but it's not enough. I need a video. I need a tour date. Give me something, please. Please don't be pregnant, girl. We can't lose you for another year.
Video is actually less of a video, more of a movie, a video length movie. So that's what's happening there.
You know what I love about this TV show? It's like a movie. Yeah. You know, you watch a TV show and you go, I wish this was a movie. And it was.
Right.
You know what I love about Beyonce? She's like a movie.
All right. Tweet I've been enjoying at the Bonk Queen tweeted, RIP to everyone killed by the gods for their hubris, but I'm different and better. Maybe even better than the gods. And then Carly Tennis tweeted, tonight's to-do list, honk, shoo, honk, me, 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 me. And they're listed out in list form. But I realized after I started the tweet that that wasn't going to come across.
Oh, it's okay. It's good. That. We got it.
Honk, shoo, honk, shoo.
Honk, shoo, and honk, me, 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 me,
me, me, me, me, me, me, me.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles is out. Super producer Justin, do you have a rec?
I do have a rec. This is a duo from the UK who I've recommended before called Jadu Hearts. This is a song called Harry Brompton's Iced Tea. It is so smooth. Just chill back and listen to some sweet harmonies and have a nice afternoon. Put this on. It's called Harry Brompton's Iced Tea by Jadu Heart, JaduHeart. And you can find that in the footnotes.
Amazing. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.